Landscapers who have an annual strategic plan are making 69% more profit per year. That's why I'm going to be hosting a free strategic planning web class to teach you how to put your vision on paper using our tried and tested template, how to set goals that your team is actually going to buy into and hit, and how to set monthly and quarterly benchmarks to keep everything on track. Look, 2025 may have been a bit of a slog, but 2026, it doesn't have to be. So register in the link in the description before space runs out, and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Today, we're going to be diving into a cash flow killer that nobody ever really talks about. Poor communication. From training mishaps, to lost change orders, to buried emails, the amount of profit lost to preventable miscommunication is astronomical. Recently, we were joined by CompanyCam founder Luke Hansen and two of our high-performing contractors for a roundtable on how to do this better. We covered the real-world systems for keeping your crews, your project managers, and your clients all on the same page, and the single most impactful communication ritual that will align your team with your company goals. And finally, the secret to maintaining healthy projects, keeping things on time and on budget. We also gave away a ton of resources and templates to get you started, which you can find in the link in the description. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less.
We are live. We are live. Everybody, welcome. Welcome to our web class today on contractor communication gaps, how poor communication kills cash flow, and what we can actually do about it. So we've got a pretty jam-packed web class today. We've got the first hour. We're going to get to a lot of discussion with the fellows you see here on deck. And the last half hour, we'll get into some Q&A for all of you as well. So I'll walk us through a few ground rules and we'll get started. So first off, I don't know if everyone's been in this platform before. It's the LiveStorm. It's similar to Zoom. My first request, just to get things moving because we're going to have Q&A as we go, is to find the chat window. So you'll see at the bottom a little bubble. Looks like most of these types of platforms these days. Just get in there. Maybe give us an idea of where you're coming in from. Where are you in the United States, in Canada? What state are you in? What province are you in? And maybe what industry you're in. I'd be curious to know. So I'll let you guys hit that up while we keep going. But let us know who you are and where you are. It would be great. Okay. Yeah, I see some people coming in. So Tim, you're first in. Thanks. Joel, Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, sweet. Thanks, Amanda. Blake's from Texas. Oh, yeah. Samantha. All right. Out in Winnipeg.
Cool. We got good Canada representation. Danny.
We've got some Canadians. That's good. All right. Keep that going, and we will come up with some more questions for you as we go through this. Some food for thought. We are going to talk about a lot today, and I think to get the most out of this, we always give away some templates and resources to help you guys. So there'll be a lot in today's package, but here's just a few things. We're going to talk a bit about sales to production handoffs and the importance of them. We have an SOP we're going to provide you guys with. We're going to talk about holding your team accountable and how to do that in a rhythmatic way. There's something called the GSNR dashboard. We're going to give you access to that to use for your teams. There's something in here called critical conversations, 5-step framework. This is all about having proper conflict with your customers, with your staff. And this is a good walkthrough just to remind you how to have an effective conversation with people to create real change. And there'll be a whole bunch more that we'll go through. So you'll see a link for that in the chat, and it'll probably bubble will pop up near the end of today. So look out for that, and you can download this stuff, and it'll help, I guess, put action to the things we discuss. General agenda, we're going to talk about who's who in the zoo first. You can see I'm not alone here today, so let's introduce who's here. We'll have a good roundtable discussion, so less of a webinar, more of a talk between all of us that you guys can partake in. We'll then talk a bit about how to book a strategy session. If you want to take action on some of this with us, there's an opportunity to do that, and we'll show you how. And then finally, we'll finish off with Q&A, which as you guys are typing, feel free to put in questions. If we don't get to them right away, our team will capture them and they're going to put them in for the end. So we can get parking lot for now and get into them near the end. So make sure you're around for that. Cool. So other just interesting stats as we were preparing for this. Why are we talking contract communications? Well, I think it's a bit of a sleeper. So currently, if you guys feel this, maybe let me know, but most of us as entrepreneurs are probably wasting about 16 hours a week on busy work, or what I call like putting out fires. And a lot of it's due to the fact that we're missing gaps in the organization, in the way things go from sales to production, the way things get produced, and the way that jobs get completed. And it's costing us as owners a ton of time, just basically picking up what was missed. Which if you actually calculate that by the year, That's probably about, well, it is roughly mathematically, it's 800 hours a year that we're putting into stuff that probably doesn't need to exist. And I could say, put my hand up here, like I have seen this way too much in my own life where like half my job is to run the business. The other half is to deal with issues. And the less we have to do of this, the more time we can build into the organization and look forward. The big factor in this is about $30 to $40 billion a year is lost due to poor productivity. So this is an FMI report finding. And the top factors on this were planning. Communication was number two, which is what we're going to talk about today, and collaboration. All right, and I'm sure you can see this in your own business where like money went out the window in the dumbest way possible because somebody forgot to tick a box. Somebody forgot to have a critical conversation. Somebody forgot to pass some vital information forward. So this is why we're doing this today. I feel this topic is a bit of a sleeper and it's something that affects us in a lot of avenues. So won't just be me today. Like I said, we've got a few of us on deck. We've got Blake Buttrey from Churchill, USA. He's been a member of Breakthrough Academy for about 3 years and avid company cam user. And we'll be speaking to his experience and working through this in his company. We got Adam Sylvester. He's the co-owner of Charlottesville Gutter Pros and Charlottesville Lawn Care. He's actually also the host of the Jobber podcast, which is really cool to have you. So Adam, thanks for coming in. And you've also been in BTA for about 3+ years and you're also an avid company cam user. And then finally, we've got Luke Hansen, the founder and CEO of Company Cam. And you grew up in the roofing business, so you got all the goods of like what happens in the field. And you've been working for, I mean, I remember meeting you at trade shows 10 years ago. I think we've both been at this for 10, 12 years now. But you've been working on the communication side of this industry for a long, long time. So I'm stoked to have you guys. And you got me. I'm co-founder of Breakthrough Academy, and I will be your host and helping us all get through this. So Mr. Blake, maybe just give us some context to you. What's your story? Why are you here?
Yeah, man. I'm a former student pastor, middle school, high school, got into door-to-door roofing sales and then began to try to birth a company back in 2020, really started it 3 years ago. We just love investing in people. People are a priority, right? So what you guys have, soul-led, results focused. How do we invest in people in a way? And communication is the key part of that in order to both get the best out of them and also get the benefit within our company. So we're loving it, having fun. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate Company Cam. Like leaps and bounds have impacted our company.
We just finished a podcast that hasn't released yet, but I'm stoked to have that go out. And it's all about people. And it's all about how to do right by people. And you've, I'd say, grown a lot in the last couple of years. So
we have done that.
The word, man. Okay. Mr. Adam Sylvester, tell us a bit about you.
My name is Adam. I'm out of Charlottesville, Virginia, here on the East Coast. And I started a lawn care business when I was like 12. And here we are now. I started a gutter business about 4 years ago, and that takes up most of my time, Charlottesville Gutter Pros. But basically, I was like a lot of people. I had unqualified people doing jobs they couldn't do, and I was frustrated. I was annoyed. But things have gotten a lot better now. Thankfully, BTA has helped a lot with that. And now my business is under control. It's healthy. It's strong. It's robust. My people are happy. I'm happy. My family's happy. So I host the Jobber podcast and I use Company Cam and it's good to be here.
And you got balance, my friend. You're working 40 hours a week. For a lot of us, the dream. So
sometimes it's 45, you know.
My sister makes fun of me all the time. She's a teacher and she's just like, you entrepreneurs are nuts. And she's just like, this 40-hour week thing is like, that is good enough. And what is wrong with you? Right. Good for you for creating balance. That's I find that's actually honestly not just about systems. That's also a choice that you personally made.
Mm-hmm. So awesome. Done that.
All right. So let's get some chatter going from all of you guys. Let us know. I would be curious to know in your own business, where is communication costing you the most when it comes to your sanity, your time, your money? What are some of the biggest things you've seen in 2025, even this year, where you're just like, this sucked? And what is happening? Is it sanity stuff? Is it like, are you spending too much time on things in your organization? Have you had some big losses maybe in some financial stuff going on with jobs? But is it sanity? Is it time? Is it money? Or is it maybe all three? Let us know. While we're doing that, maybe Blake, Adam, or Luke, what are just some things you've noticed in the last couple of years of just running your business where poor communication has been a bit of a bombshell?
where do you want to start, right? Poor communication. Poor communication is everything, right? Sender, receiver mindset. What we try to say or what we think we're saying doesn't often mean it's what the receiver is hearing. Whether that's a homeowner who got set up with the wrong expectations and now they're frustrated, pissed off, and there's lots of confusion, whether it's poor breakdown of expectations to a team member who you may have to fire, and now all your months of investing into this individual are gone, you're restarting. Like, poor communication ripples through your organization in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think that if communication was easy, everybody would do it. Effective communication is not easy. A lot of people fail. People think that we can read their minds. We jump to conclusions. There's so many things about communication make the work environment really great or really bad. And I think we've all experienced really bad environments where no one's communicating, we have conflicts, we are assuming the worst, we're not writing things down, we're not handing things off the right way. It just creates a bomb, and it's really frustrating for everybody.
Totally. Luke, what about you? What do you think? You're on mute. Mr. Luke, I'll let you figure that out. While you're figuring that out, you know what I was thinking about when you guys were saying that? Is the perception of what we say and how other people perceive it, and how different that can be. There's an analogy I told myself years ago. Like, two kids are walking down a street. One kid had a dog bite him when he was younger. The other one did not. A black lab is behind a fence barking at the two kids. One runs away and the other one goes to pet it. And it's all based on their perception of the reality that they've existed in. And when we're working with our customers, when we're working with our staff, and especially as owners, we're coming at it often from an owner's perspective, and we're missing those other perspectives. And that's where I see the biggest issues happen, is they don't see our perspective, we don't see theirs, and we don't take time to actually understand, like, what reality are you actually seeing, right? We've all had those customers that are like, or staff, where it's like, I don't understand how you see it this way. I clearly told you, but you didn't, not based on their reality. So. Anyway.
I think one of the things I've learned, he's back. I was going to fill some space. Let's go.
Right, Blake.
Come on, Luke. No.
But we're doing our best.
I just got done with marriage counseling and realizing most people have never been trained to communicate well.
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
No one teaches us how to run. No one teaches us how to breathe, but there's an appropriate way to do those things. And most of our team members have never been brought into an organization to understand, here's what healthy communication looks like. So when we frame out that we're going to train them how to do this, it sets the bar for that growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with communication, like you said, Blake, when people come in and they start working here, and we ask questions of them and we seek to understand the broader context of the situation, or we want to understand the, like, what the client said versus what actually happened, and before we jump to conclusions, that's all foreign to them. They're used to people exploding. They're used to people just assuming the worst. They're used to their boss just thinking, you'll never amount to anything. How about you tell me what you actually want me to do for once? How about you actually tell me what winning looks like instead of just assuming I know? And I just think that if we can teach, especially the younger generation, how to actually communicate, we will give them life skills they'll have forever, and our business will actually benefit from it as well.
Luke, now you can go now.
I mean, you know, even if you're just a one person organization, you still have to communicate with your customer. And the first word that comes to my mind is always expectations. That if things are unspoken, I know, Blake, you said this before around unclear is unkind, that if things aren't said or assumed, there's a lot of room for it to go every which direction. And then as your business grows, you go from, you know, whatever, 1 to 5 to 10 to 50 to 100, it only becomes more important. It's like the thing that is crucial even at a few people, and then becomes like, I don't think you can scale if you don't solve some of these communication problems. So like, it is the thing I think that holds a lot of people back. And I know, yeah. So it's critical, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's my 2 cents. It's just absolutely critical.
I think what we're saying is, like, as the company grows, there are missing pieces to how the company operates. And it's all around the communication from, let's say, someone doesn't know you, to the final check has been signed and then paid for the job. That workflow can be done in an owner's head when it's just an owner and two people. But that workflow, all the missing pieces get revealed as you start to put people in place between you and all the things that happen. So, okay, let's keep going. Signs your communication is whack or not good. And I think this actually happens a lot in the fall when cash is tight, crews are tired, right? Clients want urgent stuff done. For some of us who have more seasonality, things need to get done before the snow flies. But I'd be curious, Blake, maybe you want to kick us off here, but like, what are some stories you've felt in this in your own business where communication is a little whack?
Yeah, I mean, we have one with the client and one with our internal team. With our team, we've realized when we're using individual names of team members versus the seats they're in, so operations, PC, serving specialists, when we're starting to blame John and Amy and Cynthia, we realize there's a personal frustration going on because of a breakdown of communication. It's no longer a problem we're solving together, but I'm actually pissed at this person. And for us, that's been a big caution flag to be able to say, hey, okay, there's a breakdown somewhere. How do we pause, reevaluate, separate the personal and the professional, and then solve the actual problem and the root of it of, hey, where was the breakdown? Because we're not against each other. We're trying to walk with each other. And so that's an internal gauge we have. With homeowners, it's realizing, hey, what was communicated to them at the beginning? We're in the insurance game, so some of our deals take 6 months. It's realizing you're playing a six-month game of telephone with your homeowners, and that communication breakdown will either make or break your Google review, their experience for repeat business at the end of that deal.
Awesome.
Luke? I've seen a lot of people mention the handoff between sales and production. For us, that was a big place where we saw all these symptoms popping up. We'd have guys getting to the shop in the morning and looking at their schedule and be like, oh man, this job, like, who sold this job? Well, John sold it. Well, John's not here. Well, but we need to know this, this, and this. Oh my gosh. And so there were just so many things about the job specific stuff. It wasn't smooth or pointing fingers. Oh, he didn't do this right. He didn't even measure right. You know, all these things. Morale was low. Guys are pissed. You know, I think guys deserve to come to work without having to deal with all that kind of crap. But we were having to deal with it like every day. Oh, no one ordered the materials. Well, why wasn't that done? Internal communication was broke down again. And so I think when you start seeing jobs not get fulfilled the day they're supposed to be, you're going to start seeing those kinds of symptoms. And that's all a result of just poor communication. And then on the internal side, with the client side, I think that like we make promises to our clients, both subtle and explicit, all the time. And if we don't capture all those promises we make to our clients, even the subtle ones, then we're setting our production crew to go in there and just not hit a home run, because the client's like, well, yeah, you guys installed the roof, but like, I really cared about X, Y, and Z, and the sales guy knew it, but he didn't tell you guys. So now I'm mad. And so there's just two ways that we have to communicate, both clients and internally, and they both really matter.
You said something really powerful is the sales to production handoff. I do think if there's one major area that's pretty prevalent in most organizations, it's that one piece, because it is two very separate teams, often with two almost different agendas sometimes. And they don't always get along. And it's the first, I'd say, massive opportunity for change in management to do better. And also, it's the one thing that I find kind of pops up first, because it's when there's a true pass off happening in the company. Luke, do you want to add any commentary?
Well, it's funny. Part of the whole reason we started Company Cam, I mean, I specifically remember sending a crew out to wrap fascia on this home. And my sales guy had written one story, you know, that a 10-foot ladder would work. We get out there and like this gable that we're trying to wrap fascia on is like 40 feet and we can't do anything. And we've got guys driving around. And I was like, gosh, I wish I had pictures of this, because any of us could have looked at this and seen that this 10-foot ladder is not going to cut it for what we're trying to do. But that, I don't know, that handoff is difficult. And I mean, it's not that, you know, one picture solves that every time. A lot of it, I feel like, is, you know, I said this before, the quantity of information. Like when you're making notes, do you have a priority? And that's something that I think, like, it's like everything can get written down. There can be five documents everywhere, but like if, for example, like Adam was suggesting, that like the customer cares about XYZ and not, you know, ABC or whatever, like what the customer cares about should be probably the top thing. And I know for me, because I'm extraordinarily lazy, if you don't tell me what's important and you give me like a 20-page thing to read, I'm going to skim it, versus like if I know the important things, or if you kind of articulate, oh, this is in order, what's most important. That really helps people, I think, a la the clear is kind. That, sorry, I keep saying that, Blake. I think he's, who'd you steal that from, Blake?
Brené Brown, unclear is unkind.
All right, that's the one.
Clarity is kindness. Do you guys notice this? Do you notice that as soon as you mess up one small thing from a lack of communication between sales and production, the customer is suddenly hyper-focused on everything? And so you create 10 times more of a, like a microscope on you. And it's just about getting those small things right out of the gates. Trust can be formed and away we go. It's when that trust gets broken early on that suddenly the whole job is like molasses, because the customer is suddenly like, I don't trust you anymore. And it really comes down to trust in a lot of that piece. So.
Well, yeah. And some of those early promises happen right off the bat. Like somebody signs a quote for $10,000. If they don't hear from your company for a week, that's bad.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be little steps along the way. Like, hey, we just got your deposit. We can't wait to order the materials for you. Actually, in fact, they're ordered. And now we're just waiting. As soon as they come in, we'll let you know. All those little things are communication. And if your company is not doing that, then you're not giving your customers the experience that you probably want to give them. You're just not realizing it.
I have this later in the deck. I'm just going to pull this up, but this was really cool. So literally last week while we were getting prepared for this, one of our members texted us this, but essentially like the pre-start of the job email went out to a customer setting clear expectations. And from that, they actually booked 5 more jobs with that person. And they're basically like, I've never seen this before of all the contractors I've ever worked with. And it was almost embarrassing because I was like, the bar in the industry is not high and the customers aren't asking for some astronomical experience. They're just asking for the basics. And if we can just do that, we're already going to be better than like 9 out of 10 of the contractors in our area. So as we get into this today, even like know that this doesn't need to be hyper complex or hard. It's just to do a good job, especially in our industry, we just need to put a little bit of effort in the right place. So, okay. To the note of those in this chat, actually, I want to ask the chat, how many of you specifically, we talked about sales and production for a second, how many of you are feeling that that is an issue that needs to be resolved? There's problems with your sales to production handoff, because that is actually something we've planned today, and I hope that'll be relevant to you. So yeah, give me a yes or a no on this, but we'll dive into this today for sure. Okay, let's get into it a bit. So first question to the group, how do we ensure that communication doesn't all flow through you? And the reason that is the first question is it's the first step that a lot of us take when we need to step away from the business a bit, because we are the bottleneck. And so trying to figure this piece out is usually the first battle that I think a lot of organizations have. Adam, do you want to start in this?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think once you realize that you have a problem, then I think you need to figure out like what to do. And I think that you have to build your business around roles and not people. You know, so often we have the one guy who's really good at this, another guy who's really good at that. But it's really people driven, and people matter a lot. But if you build your business around people and one of them leaves, then you're going to have take a much bigger hit than if you were to build that business around the role, and that role was what left. So that, because the role never leaves, it's just the person, and you can quickly, you know, so to speak, quickly put somebody back in that role. And so I think thinking about your business, you want to hire really, really good people for sure, but you want to make it as role based as you can, so that it's based on processes and procedures and checklists and that kind of stuff, not just like, that guy's a rock star. It's like, you want rock stars, but you don't want to rely on their rock star ability as little as you can. And then I think using like having role clarity, you know, I think making sure people know exactly what their role is makes a big difference. Cause a lot of times people get in a business like 90 days later, like, hey, what am I supposed to be doing here? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? Or they're doing something and the boss is like, man, I don't know why you're doing that. Well, I just thought this was what I was supposed to do. And there's no role clarity. And so I think that if you want to make sure that communication doesn't all flow through you, you need to make sure that each person has their right role and that you're not basing your business around people as much as you can.
What did you actually do to create roles in the company?
So I started with an org chart, and I put myself at the top because I'm El Jefe. That's what the guys call me. And then all the different people. And I would even have like open circles that had a question mark because I wanted to fill that role at some point down the road, whether it was a PM or a lead technician, whatever the case may be. And so an org chart helps a lot with that kind of thing because then you say, okay, well, like if this guy has a problem, then he can go talk to that guy, not me. And he can, and then the, maybe the middle guy will come talk to me. But the more layers you have in your organization, the less phone calls you get all day. If you're getting 50 phone calls a day, you have a problem. And but you can eliminate that some by having a proper organizational structure to your organization. Even if you just have 6 or 8 people, you still have a work chart.
I mean, maybe in the chat, how many of you have built an organizational chart? How many have not? Just give us a yes or no in the chat. I can get some thoughts on this too. While we're waiting for that, Blake, you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, we're org chart too, right? Because an org chart makes you think of the actual seats in the process. For me, a big thing is if it's simple, it's repeatable. And if it's repeatable, it's scalable. And so in the beginning of starting your company, the reality of it is all the questions are going to flow through you because no one knows what they're doing yet. And from those questions, you have to figure out what's something that's simple so that they can repeat and scalable and then begin to implement those right things. For us, we're really big into time management, block scheduling. We're Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace. If you budget your money, you can budget your time. And that scarcity mindset of time makes people put the right things in the right place. And so that healthy rhythm of when we're connecting and what we're talking about, all of our meetings have a breakdown 5, 10, 15 minutes for this section. It allows the team to know what done is and allows for those coaching moments, those 1-3-1s. Because our goal isn't to just get people to accomplish tasks. Our goal is to equip people to be thinkers and problem solvers. And so as we raise them up, it minimizes your need to be the bottleneck. But you have to make sure you're balancing that growth period so they don't fail too quickly and quit, or they don't stagnate at the back end and really never produce and grow into what they're called to be.
Yeah. I also think that there's a period in your business where if someone comes and asks you a question, you just have to say, no, hey, no, you should be able to figure this out on your own. You have the answer. Go find the manual, go find the SOP, go find the checklist. Like, no, I'm not going to answer this. I need to break the pattern of always being the source of wisdom and the source of every answer to your question. No, I'm going to make this awkward. You go back to your office, go back to the field, get off the phone, whatever it is, and figure it out because I've equipped you. You know the answer. You're just being lazy by calling me. No more laziness. There comes a point in every entrepreneur's journey where we have to say, no, I'm not going to answer that question anymore.
Adam, what would you say, because most of us entrepreneurs, we struggle, and the reality of it is we feel valuable when everyone needs us, right? And there's a, hey, we want to let go of our baby and let it grow. And that's what we're supposed to do. But the moment we begin to empower people, no one needs us anymore. So in your experience, how would you share that journey? And what did you find on the other side of that?
I wanted to, my first business, my lawn care business, I had all the answers. And I loved it. When I started my gutter business, which was my more serious operation, was, you know what? I don't care about that stuff anymore. I just want to build a big company. If you want to build a big company that doesn't rely on you for everything, you have to say no to that kind of stuff. You just have to. I mean, Luke, you run a big company. You don't get the answers to the test every time. Do you? You make.
I don't even get asked anymore, yeah. Adam. They don't even care what I think. No, but it's completely true. Like there's some. I think a lot of this like tracks with parenting. Like if you have kids, you know, like you can go do everything for your kid, but a lot of what will help them is you kind of like talking them through it, asking questions, like almost like surfacing, helping them ask themselves the right questions and kind of like talking through how you're thinking about something, because then you can empower them to think the way that you think. Essentially, and understand like what are the principles that we're operating on. Like, yes, we have the policy. Yes, you know, like, but if they can think like, oh, I know what, like, I actually hear this literally every day. I know what Luke's going to say to this, you know, and it's because, well, I also talk a lot, but they've just, a lot of people have like internalized how I'm how I think about stuff that then allows them to just skip asking me or even caring and then just go and doing the thing. And the only other thought I want to add is like, I think like erring on the side of like open communication channels versus closed, like whether that is like we use Slack a lot, or even, I mean, some people just do this in company cam, but like you have like a public channel where things are being discussed versus like a bunch of one-off text messages and everything else. And that can be really helpful because then like just more is shared, but also more problem. Maybe I haven't had this specific problem if I'm an employee, but I have seen other people ask this question, deal with this. And then I just know the answer because more of the communication is like, in a sense, public inside of the, of your organization, or like transparent.
Okay. So yeah, so we've talked a bit about setting up good structure, organizational structure. We didn't talk about job descriptions, but I think that's the second piece. It's like installing who's responsible for what. What is everyone's role and who reports to who, actually, which is a really important piece. And then building into your people. And the one thing you guys are talking about is, I think it's just installing critical thinking into people. I think people have a lot more ability to think critically than they give themselves credit for. And it comes out to us as a leader to enable that. There's this small thing. You guys can all Google it if you want. It's called situational leadership, but it allows you as a leader to see where are your people at different stages and what type of leadership do they need. And it does start with high direction, right? Like, go do this. This is like, and this is during training or any new element of what someone's doing in their job. And it goes to coaching, where you're involving them in the why behind why a decision is made the way it is. And then it needs to evolve from there. This is where a lot of us stop. It needs to evolve from coaching to what's called supporting, which is what you're all talking about right now, which is, I'm not going to give you the answer. Your response is, why do you think it's that way? If you were to have to make this decision, what do you think you would do? And help them get the confidence to realize they actually have the answer. They've spent enough time with you learning. They actually can do it themselves, but they're just not used to getting off of the teat, whatever. they just want to be sure. It's like, no, show them that they can do this themselves. And that's when they're ready. And then finally, and only then, can you start to get to delegating, which is the ability to actually just trust in somebody to take it on. They trust in themselves as well. But too often we go high direction, straight to delegating, they freak out, and then we fire them. And it's just, as a leader, we need to be aware of these like different ways to lead a person through their ability to get the skill and the confidence actually to make these decisions independently. So, okay.
Do you feel like that's something that would be good to include in a quarterly or yearly review on where they're at in those stages within different accountables and deliverables of their seats?
I used to have this years ago at College for Painters. So when I was prepping for anyone that I would work with, any of my franchisees, I would think through where they're at on the situational leadership model within different skills that I'm working with them on, actually, not just as a person within the skill. And actually, the other thing I was looking at is where they're at on the emotional side, like high emotion, low emotion, and where I can support them. And those were the two axes that I use before I get into any practical stuff. So, all right, let's keep moving for time. Next phase. So we're starting to think through how we communicate to get us ourselves out of all the decision making. Now, how do we actually keep our team on the same page that we're out of the picture? How do we make sure that everybody's still doing the things they need to be doing? So Blake, do you want to start us off here?
Yeah, for us, it's really creating clarity on when what conversation should happen. So I'm in multiple seats in my organization. So I'm the sales coach right now. I'm also the captain. So for me, it's making sure I'm articulating to my team, what seat am I answering this question in, right? So there'll be times as the sales coach, I'm actually reporting to other individuals within my organization. With our serving specialists or sales team, we have our weekly GSRs where we break down where they're at holistically as a person, what their accountable deliverables are, their metrics. They have two open spaces on Thursday where if they need a one-on-one to go more in depth, they can. We do our monthly all unicorn meeting. So this is our culture event. We just did it yesterday. We talked about the art of asking good questions, questions that evoke change in individuals. And then we do our quarterly touch point. And from that quarterly, we analyze and do a SWOT over each seat, over each individual. Figure out, did we actually map out the appropriate goals for last quarter? And then what are the actual decisions and things that we need to implement that will bring us the most financial success or cultural success in the next quarter? So it's systematized and routine. A big piece in this too, we also have L3 conversations. So if I need a quick 90-second question answered, I can call any of my team members. There's no pleasantries involved. They just pick up and say, hey, quick L3, here's what I need, and off we go. And the ability to frame that allowed our team not to take anything personal. And it saved time and momentum and allows us to understand, here's what we're doing in this moment, here's why we're doing it, and off we go.
And you used a lot of acronyms just now, but what you're describing is you've got a weekly or biweekly structured meeting to hold accountability to goals and to help people through their job. You're coaching them. You've got a quarterly touch point on all of this to help redirect strategy. And then you've got a way to be nimble and quick with intercommunication throughout the day and the week to make moves. And you've got each one of these is structured, actually.
Structured. Yeah, everything's written down. I got a little timer on my clock. I love talking to people. And so each section of the meeting has a specific time frame and a definition of what done looks like. Because we genuinely care for our team. My team are some of my best friends. We can talk about life and get off rails. But what happens is we don't put the main things first. And so we're big rocks, pebbles, sand. Hey, let's put the main things for these conversations and this time in first. Everything can fill in afterwards. Again, it's training a skill set. We're training our team to think. We're training them to prioritize. We're letting them know that there's a space and a place for each one of these conversations. And what it does is it minimizes the organic tribal knowledge of, oh, I got to call Danny. Oh, I got to call Luke. They know the answer. And it says, hey, here's a space for these questions where I'm ready to go. So I was out of country for 3 weeks. I'm meeting with my recruiting manager tomorrow, and he's going to say, hey, here are the top three things that I need to get accomplished in this meeting. Perfect. I'm set up to serve him within a specific amount of time. If anything goes after that, either it wasn't important and we can pause and make that decision, we didn't talk about this because there's really no value in it, or we can schedule another time. And so creating those routines creates comfort and safety. One of the things we were talking about earlier, really with communication, is people have an anxiety to fear. If there's an unknown of what to do, how to communicate, do I have the authority to make this decision or not? They're not going to do anything. And so as we were talking about parenting to a degree and being a father and raising people up, when you do that with your team, when you frame out what done looks like, I'm going to empower you with this decision and I'm going to stand by you. If you need me to help you think, I'm more than willing to do that. But at the end of the day, this is your role. This is your responsibility. How do I support you in that? Your team members will elevate.
Yeah, maybe in the chat too, how many of you need to have some structured meetings? Maybe you have meetings with your team, but they could be better structured. Just let us know, yay or nay. I don't live yet. Luke, you were gonna say something?
No, I was submitting myself as a person who needs to structure more. I mean, it's very easy to lead in with, how's it going, how was that trip, all of that stuff, and then you find yourself like kind of fighting for time, like you said, Blake, to kind of get the important stuff out of the way versus flipping that or even timing yourself. What's your default timer length, Blake, when you're going to start talking?
It depends on each session. Some of them are 2 minutes. So in the beginning of our GSR goal setting review, right, we have 5 minutes for, hey, how are you feeling? I need to check the gauge with this individual to see what kind of conversation I can have. If they're having major life issues, struggle with their marriage, they're having a bad day. We also have a 5 minute rule. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but hey, if you just need to vent to me for 5 minutes, we're going to put a box on it and it's done. Then every other section is broken down into 5 minute increments. So it's either 5, 10 or 15 based on what needs to be accomplished in that. Our all unicorn or our team meeting, some of those sections are 45 minutes. Some of them are 60, some of them are 15. So it's really, you learn as you go, how do you create enough restriction to keep you focused and keep the meeting moving, but how do you not minimize it so much that there's no value in it?
You just brought up something really important, Blake, to leave room for the personal side and to actually lead with that, because someone's emotional state can completely, you can sit down and set goals all you want. If someone's checked out, won't do nothing. And you actually shift the meeting to be more about that.
Yeah.
Adam,
and
Brad, oh, sorry.
Hey, Blake, you want to finish?
No, I was going to say, right, we're people first. And so I've had team members where they've never been led before. One of the best compliments I've ever got from one of my team members is, I've never felt this safe before. And to have someone on your team share that allows you to know, like, hey, they're vulnerable. They may be crying. They may be figuring out how to share things. If you solve that root insecurity, brokenness, identity piece, everything else is easy, yeah. Right? But when they're finding their identity and what do I produce for this company, it's vulnerable. And so there's been meetings where we scrap the whole, hey, here's what your job is, and invest strictly on the person and say, no, this is a priority. I see you. I believe in you. You're accepted. You're safe. Like as a person, right? Personal hat. Professionally, we can shift over and say, hey, I know we didn't address this today. Here's a bullet point of the items I need updates on. Get me this email by 4 o'clock. And off they go. So you don't relegate that responsibility of what done looks like. But our people, and especially in this generation where, right, we're desperate for human contact. We're desperate for engagement. If you actually invest in people, and the reality of it is you can only do this if you hire people you care about. If you really care about these people, the byproduct fruit, the long end game is going to be leaps and bounds beyond it.
Yeah. Like I think the work environment can be such a great environment for restoration and healing for people, especially if they came from a bad work environment, bad family. I just think like if done well, I think the work environment can be one of the best places for people to come to each morning. Speaking about meetings, a meeting that we have every day is our daily huddle. And this is a 10-minute meeting every morning. We never miss it. The reason we do this is because otherwise we're just running around like cats. Oh, they're going to that job. They're going to that job. And they're going to that. No one's really talking. Maybe we talk, but it's unofficial. The daily huddle just does two things for us. But number one, we discuss the wins from yesterday. So imagine the guys have a bad night the night before. They come in and they're kind of grumpy or whatever attitude they're in. But we highlight the wins from yesterday to get our mind right, to get our place back in the positive zone. Hey, actually, yesterday went pretty well. Let me tell you how that job went. Oh, yeah, I heard about that job. Yeah, great. And a little bit of camaraderie. And the second thing is simply, and like, what's the schedule for today? Are there any roadblocks that we can anticipate? Any issues you're going to run into around the corner? And this gives people an opportunity to say, yeah, you know, I think our schedule is a little bit too full today. We might not get to Miss Jones at the end of the day. Should we call her? Oh, no, she's totally flexible. If we have to boot her to tomorrow, she's totally cool with that. Oh, great. Okay, awesome. Because what do the guys do every morning? They come in and they look at their schedule and they start thinking about all the problems that could happen. And so the daily huddle captures all that without them mumbling, without them grumbling, without them gossiping behind my back, behind the boss's back. So the daily huddle is just, it solves so many things, and it's daily. It's every morning, 10 minutes. It's not really any longer. And we do a little fist bump, 1, 2, 3, green and blue. And it just brings everyone together and makes the day start on a much better note.
Awesome, guys. Good. We will, just so you guys know, in the download package, there'll be a few meeting structures that you guys can grab from. One of them is called GSR, you'll see in there. And if this is resonating with you, it's like we need to get some more structure in the way we meet with our team and hold rigor and accountability and have proper communication. We will put this, some of the stuff into the download resources for you guys to reference. Okay. Let's get into this powerful question that we've been waiting to get onto, which is what does a strong sales and production handoff look like? Adam, do you want to start on this?
Yeah, definitely. So I think what it looks like is there's no frustration. A job is scheduled today and it goes smoothly. My technicians will say there are no surprises, right? Can I get an amen on that? No surprises. Oh, we need this material. Nobody ordered it. Oh, we need this special ladder. Oh, no one has that ladder. Oh, we need this. Oh, we need that. Oh, the client's not home and they're supposed to be home. Oh, no one ordered 811 from Miss Utility before we dig. The list goes on and on and on. The result, a good handoff is like, none of that's a problem. All of it was taken care of. The everything that was ordered, materials, service calls to vendors, all taken care of. When they arrive in the morning, they have all the things in a pile if they need, if it's materials rated related. The client is home and ready to engage if we need them to be, right? Like at the end of the day, they gave it a 5 out of 5. Hey, that job was great. I want more jobs like that. The quote was proper. All the instructions were in my CRM and I can see everything I need. All the subtle promises that were made to the client were delivered on. Because here's the thing, like
the guys will say this a lot. Like, if the salesperson did a bad job or the office did a bad job, it's whatever. I get blamed because I'm on the job site, right? as the guy in the field, like the production guy, I get blamed even though I had nothing to do with it, right? And so they don't want to be put in the lion's den and get devoured by the client. They deserve to come to work every day with the opportunity to deliver on to deliver a service without any issues and hiccups. And so I just think it's no frustration.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to give everyone one of these too. It's an SOP on a proper sales to production handoff. Again, it's a template for all of you. You can start to utilize it. Maybe let us know in the chat who could use some brushing up on this. Who needs to kind of look at this a little closer and make sure you've buttoned up a few areas that you probably have felt this year. Learn some lessons. Give us some yay or nays in this. Blake, I'll let you go. Everyone's typing.
Yeah, what I love about what Adam said is, right, no surprises. For us, we start with the people and not the task. Right. So it's easy for us in trades to think we're a commodity, we're doing a thing and we're going to leave. The reality of it is we're dealing with people. And so in our industry, we have, as a homeowner, we have the insurance company, and then we have our team. With our homeowners, we really try to ask questions, and this may be bad, but honestly, one of the first questions we ask is, hey, tell us about a great experience you've had with contractors in the past. And we shut up and listen, and they're going to tell you exactly what they expected. If they're beaming, like, oh my gosh, they're proactive with communication and let me know when they show up and they cleaned up the job site, and we're sitting there taking notes. And then we pivot and ask, hey, tell us the time with a contractor where you were just super frustrated. Like, where are you disappointed and just, And again, they're going to highlight exactly what they need. Within that, we pivot to the insurance game and to our internal team. The reality of it is this is where Company Cam has been a lifesaver for us, is a picture shares 1,000 words. If we can go through and systematically, we train our team, hey, I need someone who's never been on this job site to be able to holistically understand everything that's going on. And so they're trained. We have an acronym, GLOCK, right? Ground, ladder, overview, close-up, clarity, and concern. We do 360 overview of the house from the ground, 360 on the roof, close up of any areas where they feel like there's been damage. We take photos of driveways, how the stucco is, if it's already cracked. Why? We've had so many CYA moments, cover your moments, where homeowners, you're putting a new roof on their house. It's shiny. And now they notice everything wrong with their property. And so the fact that we can systematically document when things happened just helps us tremendously. Within that, our project concierge, or our PM for you guys, she can go through and she uses Company Cam and the tasks and tags to be able to systematically break down all the information she needs in a streamlined way to save time, right? It's another form of communication that allows her to understand this property, communicate to our subs, communicate what information we need to do on the supplement, have photo documentation. We're not making any of this up. And it's been a game changer. Within that, the beauty is Chris Voss talks about communication, right? 7, 38, 45. 7% is the words we say. And in business, we try to create checklists and tasks and documentation, the 7%, to communicate the 100% of what needs to be done. And while that's effective, you still need to understand the tone at which things are saying. I can tell you, man, hey, this homeowner really loved our job. Or I can be like, hey, man, this homeowner really loved our job. When you're communicating those details in person, it creates an impact. And so each one of our packets, we have our work order sheet, we have our supplement sheet, and then we have our handoff sheet. Within those things, we require a 15-minute meeting so that the serving specialist, our sales guy, and our PC can meet face-to-face, talk through those details. So when I'm telling you, hey, here's a frustration the homeowner had with the contractor in the past, and you're reading my body language and tone, that PC now can empathize and feel what this homeowner went through, and it's not just words on a page. And so creating opportunity for those things to flow has really been ideal in us figuring out, hey, how do we do this well? And it's that balance of efficiency, right? Hey, I want to be fast. I'm going to fill out these forms, put it into Job Nimbus, and I'm done with it. Versus creating the quality experience that we want. And as an industry that's growing, we have to balance those two things. And so we found having them created and then putting that 15-minute face-to-face in-person connect holistically solves all the problem and allows our homeowners to have the experience that we desire for them to have.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like don't oversolve this issue. You still need the human element. Otherwise, everything gets lost in that still in that translation. You have the most robust spreadsheet ever, checklist ever. You still need to have that human element.
Danny, I don't know how I'm paying you, how much I'm paying you for this webinar, but these guys are top notch. I feel like this has got to be, I was listening to Blake. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm learning a ton here, Blake. I feel like, for one, can you, I don't want to derail us, but the way that you're naming these roles, I find really compelling. Like, it's kind of like inspiring. You seem to have a way with like branding things such that people don't just hear like customer support, right? That's what everyone calls it. That's what we call it at Company Camp, customer support versus, I forget the name you used. And then you talked about doing
years. Yeah.
I mean, that's just so excellent. And then what you were talking about with asking them questions about the past, it's kind of like we in software, that's almost like customer interview 101. If you ask people what they want, what they think, you don't need to care about what they want or what they think. And they half the time can't tell you, but they can almost always remember a time that they felt a certain way or remember. Cause I ask people, hey, do you remember the last time you were frustrated with this app when you were like, oh, you're shaking your phone and you're angry? That will get an answer because everyone's had that experience versus, you know, people don't really want to like hurt your feelings or even they're hesitant to give information, but they're happy to tell stories. And I just, that whole strategy that of just the way you're talking about answering those questions is like worth its weight in gold. Like if you can come up with a way to do that, not you specifically, but anyone, if you can figure out how to learn what you want to learn by asking people to tell you about an experience that they had or a time that they felt like this, or if they remember X, Y, Z, it's always all in there rather than, hey, what do you want? What do you care about? I just think half the time we don't know. We have to almost reveal it to ourselves by telling a story of how we felt. Anyway, that's sorry.
Yeah,
my interruption's over. That was just good stuff.
No, it's good. The two things that I'll answer the two things. So one, we believe names and titles matter. They dictate what the result looks like. And so early on, when I hear PM, I think of someone ordering material, setting up the crews, being on the job site, fixing any problems and leaving. It's task orientated. But because we're people orientated, our clientele are higher end, right? So we're high end, gated community, standing seam, insurance based. It's a long process. They're all CEOs, business owners. They expect something different. And so our framework was, hey, how do we holistically tend to them? Done looks like proactively figuring out what they need before they need it. And then with asking these questions, you said it and it was fantastic, right? No one knows what they really want. They really don't. And so we train our guys to approach it with a curiosity and understanding. How do you be an investigator? How do you go on a fact-finding expedition to help them figure out, hey, what do I really want? When working with a contractor, how do I need to be communicated? Oh, I've never thought about that. And what it does is it allows them to see that you see them, right? Again, we're working on, you know, AJS houses of anywhere between $90,000 and $270,000. It's a large project and you're with them for an extended period of time. So when we can proactively tell them, here's where we are, here's where we're going, next step, systematically be the sage, the guide, not the hero, but the one guiding them to solve their own problem, they have a sense of pride of what they've done. And so often it's easy for us in our busyness, right? We're busy. We have tasks every day moving. We just focus on the task, move fast, and we miss the whole human experience. When in reality, that's what they're grading us on. That cultural experience is, how did you make me feel? What's the story I'm going to tell at the end of this? And if you want to create a brand, if you want to create a culture, if you want to create organic word of mouth in business, you have to start with that legacy.
Blake, this is awesome. This is good. This is the unseen stuff that you can't put on a checklist.
And it doesn't show up financially really quick. It's qualitative, right? I'm a sociology major. You have quantitative and qualitative. We in business, we spend all our time in quantifiable facts. How do we evaluate? What's the percentage? How do I improve XYZ? But we don't pause long enough to look at the qualitative stuff. And when you look at your marriage, when you look at parenting, right? You're not looking at the quantifiable things. You're looking at the qualifiable things to bring impact. When you look at some of your best team members, hey, they may have done great sales, but the memories that you have from them are the stories of hanging out. That's when you get to know them and break bread and have a cigar and have a glass of whiskey and everyone opens up and it's like, it's hard to do, but man, it's so worth it.
Yeah, it's the difference between having transactional relationships with people and like intrinsic, like we're in war together. Let's go. We're in this together. I always think about this too, even in sales. It's like when I'm with a customer or anything, when I'm with anybody, am I, you know, on the other side of the tennis court, like hitting the ball over to them and they're busy hitting it over to me and we're communicating in this combative way? Or do I'm on the same side of the tennis court as them with my arm around them, looking at the problem together and being like, let's go fix this. And how do we establish that relationship early on and maintain that through all the things that happen in our organization? For time, I'm going to do a couple things just so everybody knows. Let's get everyone in their resources pretty quick here. I'm going to do a few questions to you guys, go through BTA Company Cam and get you guys some resources to download. I'm then going to go to some, we have a whole bunch that Blake and Adam have posted for us to show you guys the actual tools they're using. So we'll do that after, and then we'll do some Q&A. Okay. All right. So I want actually in the chat, let us know. I would love to know from everything we've just talked about, what is like, let's call it like the one thing that you would take from this. What is one thing that you could do differently? One thing you could work on maybe in the next week, maybe in the next 2 months, but what's something you're like, based on what I'm listening to here and looking at my organization, this is probably what we need the most. Give us some insight here. So unclear is unkind. Awesome. Michael, I've learned a lot. We'll forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Awesome. Keep typing in the chat. This is great. Roles. Yes. Basic and so important. Tim, the two customer questions and the 10-minute huddle. Great. David, what do we got? Ask the customer what another contractor did. Yeah. So simple but effective questions. Blake, do you have any other good questions? You know, type some in the chat if you want. Any other good questions?
Yeah, I can. It all depends on the homeowner, right? We read people. We hire guys who can read people and body language. And so within those, we have it templated out. Hey, here you walk into the house, you're looking at pictures, you're looking at their dog, you're trying to figure out who is this person. You're sitting at the kitchen table side by side, not across. Your iPad is closed. You slide it across before you begin and say, hey, Tom, before we start, what really matters to you in this process? And you shut up and you lean back and you just relax. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing, hey, am I being sold to, or do you really care for me right now? And yep. From there, they're going to answer, and you just start guiding. We let them know, hey, I'm going to be taking notes right now. It's really important for us that I hear what you're saying and write it in a way where our project concierge can respond. So as you see me on my phone, I know this is a disarmer and people think we're not paying attention. I'm going to take notes. And then what I do is I summarize to them, hey, here's what I heard you say. Is that correct? Now, again, when you're genuinely concerned and intrigued and have that curiosity about them, people feel that and they lean into it. And then you have a clear pathway of what matters. You transcribe that information into your documentation. You transcribe that for us to our PC in that 15-minute handoff. And then they're calling the homeowner again and saying, hey, Johnny, you know, from the notes, here are the things that I feel is important to you. Is this correct? And you're getting alignment and symmetry in those consistent touch points. And it goes to what you were saying earlier. If there's a breakdown of communication, a break of trust in the beginning, the whole job's hard. But when you've constantly built that rapport and put those deposits in the beginning, like the best compliment one of my team members has ever got, Google review, is, man, I'm so sad that my job is done because Emily is one of my new best friends and I'm not going to be able to talk to her anymore. Like when you can have a homeowner say your project concierge or your PM is a best friend, like you're doing something different. And it's like, let's go.
And Christmas fun, which I think is a really important piece that we don't really talk about. So the actually, you know what's interesting, like what you're talking about bridges into conflict, like conflict resolution type conversations and how to listen. And just to sum up even what you're saying, it's good communication is not about how you talk. It's about how you listen more than anything. And your ability to ask a couple good questions and listen 80% of the time. It's not only a good sales thing. It's a good practice in life. People need to be heard. And when you've actually heard them and can repeat what you've actually heard and it's bang on, you've reached another level of like trust and ability to work with people. So
our ops manager just did a training yesterday on the art of asking questions, right? J.R. Briggs, it's a book. And one of the statements he trained with us on is your life is a reflection of the questions you're asking. And so within our companies, if we're always asking problem-solving, task-based question, it's a reflection that there's chaos in our organization. We're operating out of stress, right? We're operating out of fear. If you're asking holistic questions, intuitive questions, visionary question, it lets you know, hey, our internal organization systems and processes, we actually have them dialed in. We're thriving in our environment. And the same goes for your marriages and your relationship with your kids. If you're in task mode, hey, here's our schedule and Johnny has to go to this and we have to go to that. Who's doing dinner and who's doing drop off? You're operating out of task mode. But when you have time and space to be like, hey, how are you feeling today, babe? Like, do you feel safe? Do you feel loved? Is there anything I can do to tend to you more? Your the health of your relationship is being reflected by those questions. So I would challenge the team and everyone in the chat, hey, pause and look at the meetings that you're having, the phone calls you're asking. What type of questions are you asking?
All right, let's get into a few things to actually make some change in this, where the real work actually begins. So let's start with company chem. Luke, you've been around for a lot of years in this industry, helping with communication using technology. Do you want to speak a bit what company chem does and how it works?
It's funny, I'm in the chat trying to sell this other app to everyone called Granola. Because I love it so much. I was literally just posting this. So, I mean, you know, I'll just say Company Cam, a lot of people out here, I'm sure, know it. It started just from like kind of the problems I was articulating earlier. Any number of problems where you're trying to capture information out in the field, you want that to be organized and accessible across your business so that later, whether that later be 10 seconds later, you can see what the progress is, or 2 years later when you're like, gosh, what did we do over there? You know, instead of digging up paperwork, you have all the photos, you have all the videos, all the notes. And now, you know, it does more checklists, photo reports for insurance, bunch of different AI things. And one thing we're adding very soon is like this ability to record conversations. Like Blake was talking about, I use this app called Granola. And it's for recording meetings like this. Then it gives you AI notes and then you can chat with those notes. So I could go back and be like, oh, Blake said something about something. What was that? And it'll be like, oh, it finds it. And it's like, oh, he was talking about this. Oh, that's a quote from Brené Brown. Oh, that's from this book. And it's like, it's really handy to be able to listen. And then you can sort of write in some of your own notes, but also record the conversation. And that, like, that but some of a little I'll say where Company Cam is going is that, like, how do we make getting information from especially on site as simple and seamless as possible, and then integrate it into wherever else it needs to go, whether that's like Job Nimbus or Paint Scout or you name it, the million job or the million other places where like a bunch of other business stuff is happening. We just want it to be impossibly easy to capture in Company Cam, and then there's other, you know, to do other stuff with it, but to have it be this zero friction, everyone can use it thing. But more and more, like, I'm bad at taking notes, and I don't like when I'm talking to people and they're on their phone, even if they say they're taking notes, Blake, I don't believe them, because I know that like TikTok and Twitter X or whatever, like, they're so close. But yeah, Company Cam, every contractor should have it. If any of you aren't using it, what's your problem? Why do you hate us? I just know what I want to know.
I feel like almost everyone uses it now. Like, maybe in the chat, who's using, you have said yes or no, who's using Company Cam in your company?
Someone bravely come out and say that they hate Company Cam.
Well, one of my lead technicians, after about a year of using Company Cam, said, I don't know how we ever ran our business without Company Cam. I said, I don't either. So Luke, it's awesome. We love it.
Okay. Well, thank you. And it's that, it's funny because it's that, that weird space. And we have this when we're trying to like market where you don't, oh yeah, pictures. We take pictures. Okay. That's not that complicated. But once you kind of have all the information flowing to you, you really get used to it. And then the idea of going back to not having that is, it like feels painful. But anyway, so
blah blah blah.
One of the things I've been loving about Company Cam in my sales coach seat is when we have trainees doing new inspections on their own, I can literally sit at my desktop while they're taking their photos, have a headset in, and coach them on what to see. And so it saves us from having to do a go back. It allows them to be trained consistently. Like, I've been able to see hail damage from their photos that they can't see. I'm like, hey, go 4 panels to the left, 2 feet above this pipe jack, and you're going to find it. And so the fact that it's instantaneous for us and allows for that instant feedback in a sales coach role has been game changing.
All right, I'll quickly do BTA and then we'll get some downloads to everybody. Some of you guys got to go at the top of the hour. So Contract Revolution, Breakthrough Academy. It's been one brand for those who follow it. You've probably seen this for a lot of years. We have for 10 years been working on how to systemize a contracting business for growth. And I think we've kind of figured it out at this point. We've got a lot to offer, from everything from how you manage your financials, to defining your roles properly, to hiring properly, to training, optimizing sales and marketing, and wrapping that into a strategic plan. Blake and Adam, you guys have been a part of it for 3 years. I almost feel like speak to it would be tough compared to what you guys actually just from the horse's mouth have been through. Do you want to give us some thoughts on what is BTA to you? Why do you do it? And just your overall experience with us.
Yeah, I mean, I remember 3 years ago, I started in July 2022, and I'd been in a business owner my whole life. And so I never had worked for another company doing what I do. I'd never seen another company's P&L. Or I'd never seen how they ran their meetings. I'd never seen anything. I just didn't know. Comparison is the thief of all joy, but it's also helpful, dude. Like, so is this normal? Is 3% net profit good or bad? I don't. And so I found that, like, I joined BTA for financial help, but I ended up staying for a lot more than that. But, like, you know, having a coach that's seen 300 P&Ls is helpful. And they can guide and direct, hey, that's actually really good. That's not good. I didn't know what gross profit was. I would have lied and told you I knew what it was, but I didn't really know what gross profit was. And so just knowing how to run a profitable business, BTA has helped with that a lot. It's a big fan.
Love it. Yeah, for us, it was that big scary moment of deciding to bet on yourself and start something, right? And so me and my ops guy, who we'd pulled in at the time, we paused and said, hey, do we want to try to build something on our own, which we can do, or do we want to try to buy time by investing in a company to train with us? And so we scouted out a couple different companies, landed on BTA, one from a cultural fit. Two, we just love the DNA, and then the fact that everything was systematized based on a yearly pathway allowed us to know what done looked like. What's really kept us, though, is one, we love our coach, Shane. Love that guy. He asks phenomenal questions. He helps us think and challenges us. But it's the community of individuals that we've been able to walk with. The fact that I go on Winter Summit and talk to landscapers, talk to people doing, you know, Christmas lights, talk to people doing roofing, and try to figure out, hey, who are you and how do we help each other? That brotherhood, for lack of a better word, that's come out of that has been life-changing. And so for us, anyone who's not in a coaching program, highly recommend you look at BTA, because the reality of it is, it's the first step of saying, hey, I believe in myself. I believe in who I can be in the next 3 to 5 years. I'm going to take the investment, enjoy the journey. And at the end of it, I'm going to be so pissed that I didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but essentially, a good way to put us is we start out being a very good, almost like system for you to follow in your business. It's like a franchise level system for you to follow without you ever having to buy a franchise. Then you get into the coaching and you start to be held accountable and be called out on your bullshit is actually a big one of it. And
100%.
Walk through a strategic plan and actually follow through within a year and see, like, this is real. And what I find you guys are at, Blake and Adam, is you get to the point where you get to know the members so well. It's like, this is how we operate. We need to be in business together as entrepreneurs. We cannot be alone. And it makes us stronger. The group is a bunch of guys just like you. And I'm so impressed that we even have you guys in our organization to speak the way you guys have today. It just says volumes. And I'm proud of what we've built. And I'm proud of what you guys are doing it within it. Because it's not even about me anymore as a coach. It's about this community and how it works together. So, okay, let's get you guys some resources and get you guys into some Q&A as well. So if you're looking for a strategy session with Breakthrough Academy, you're going to have the opportunity to do that. You can click on the link here And we'll basically flip the script. We're going to sit and listen to you for about half an hour to 45 minutes and see what's going on in your organization. And if what we can do can help you, we'll take you down to the next meeting, which is a proper business assessment, one-on-one in Zoom together, and see if what our organization can do to actually help you scale this business is the right fit for you. There's also Company Cam in there. So you're going to see an opportunity to click yes or no if you want to be connected with Company Cam. If you're not in Company Cam, let me just say that you need to be. You probably should be. And if nothing else, you should check out their team and go through a demo. Within doing all of that, you're also going to get access to a sales production handoff playbook and accountability dashboard that you can use for your people in your organization to sit down and do one-on-one structured meetings, a critical conversations framework, which Blake was just mentioning earlier, an SOP on residential insurance sales training. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here that really, I think for all of us, it's just something to thumb through, read through, and pick maybe one or two of these resources that you can actually implement. You probably don't need them all, but I think there's a couple that we've discussed today that should help make all this kind of real for you. So click on the link, take some time to fill it out, basic information. Let us know if you'd like to connect and chat. That's on the Company Cam side and the Breakthrough Academy side, and we'll take it from there. Luke, Adam, Blake, before I move off the slide, is there any other comments, thoughts? Are those on in the chat?
Now, what I love that Adam said, right? We don't want to compare ourselves to other, but it's great to have a reference, right? Most of the time, we don't know if we're doing any good in our jobs. And so the fact that you have other people you can glean ideas from or see where, hey, you know what? We actually do this pretty well. I'm proud of what we've created here. Gives that peace of mind, that touch point. And so that's one of the things I love with BTA in the first 6 weeks in Blueprint. It's like, where do we start? Like, what are the core principle DNA documentation vernacular that we need to understand as we start this journey? And I just, again, I want to applaud you guys. You've set up the on-ramp of your information in such a smooth way for something that's so complex. Like, thank you again on behalf of my team. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, and I'm surrounded by a lot of people who run businesses, but they're not making any money. It was nice running VTA and being surrounded by people who make a lot of money. That was a big change for me.
We do. And just so everyone knows, we do take time to make sure this is actually a good fit. We have a sales team that we actually call an assessment team because they very much are the bouncers to make sure that when you're coming in, you're actually ready. And if you're not, it's okay. We're going to give you some resources to help you. We're going to give you some guidance, and we'll come back to that conversation in a year or two when your actual organization is ready to work with us. But what happens as a result of that is we've got a very strong network of entrepreneurs and contractors who are ready to scale and do this properly and with heart and passion. And ultimately, like, we're all trying to level up this industry. And I feel like this cohort is leading the way in a lot of ways. So it's cool to watch. I'm humbled by it myself. Like, I'm a part, I go to our conference and I'm always just like, good Lord, these people are, you guys are surpassing me in a lot of ways too. So it's cool to see what's coming out of it. All right. So if you haven't yet, click on that link. You can get started on some of this stuff. You can book a strategy session, you can get in touch with Company Cam, and you can get some resources. We have some more time. So we have 20 minutes. Let's start with some of the things that you guys use as tools. And Adam, one of the visuals you gave us here is a way to basically, I guess, communicate with your team what needs to be done on projects. Can you just show us or tell us a little bit about what you're looking at here and what it does for your organization?
Yeah, well, like Luke mentioned earlier, where they went to a job and they thought it just needed like a 10-foot ladder, and it ended up being like a 3-story monster demon house, like a 40-foot ladder. Company Cam solves that problem for us. So what do your guys do every morning when they come in? The first thing they do is look at the photos. They look at the photos of the job coming up. Hopefully, if you have Company Cam, they're just going in there scrolling through photos. But they always want to see the house. They want to see the job. They want to see where they're going. And so with Company Cam, you can go in there, take a bunch of photos, the salesperson, the technicians, and then you can draw on it and like this. And so we're going to do 116 feet of 6K gutter, add 4 downspouts where needed. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It doesn't take more than a few minutes, but it answers so many questions. We're not guessing where the downspouts are going. We're not guessing we're doing 5K or 6K. It's just, it's all right there in one photo. And it makes it a lot easier just to write on the screen. We use it for drain work. We use it for everything. We run on the screen constantly because a lot of times we send the photos to the client afterwards because unlike cutting grass, they can't really tell if we clean the gutter. They just have to believe us, right? If we cut the grass, they can tell. And so we send the photos, they can actually see the progress and see what we did. And we'll like circle things. Hey, there's a leak right here. Hey, this gutter's missing a hanger and there's an arrow.
And you hand this off to the client and it just blows their mind. They're like, oh my gosh, you sent me 50 photos? I don't have time for all that. It's like, good. We don't want you to have time for all the photos we have because we send you so many. The guy just tap, just click, all these photos. And it just screams respect. It just screams reputation when you give clients this kind of stuff. And it's great for internal use as well.
A picture says 1,000 words.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a drawn-on picture says 2,000 more.
Yeah.
Adam, I love this because that gutter example, or like whatever you're showing right there, is like what I always say because I've done gutters. And I say, like, oh, hey, go to the northwest corner of the house and that downspout. It's got two A elbows. You need a B elbow and it's running out to the northeast. It needs to run out to the southwest. And like,
you're going to compass out. We're trying to figure
out. Like you're completely lost, even if you know what you're doing, versus like, oh, there's a line and the line is going this way instead of this way. And then okay. None of us are confused.
You could do it. Yeah. Just look at the photo and you put the downspout there. You keep it simple, right?
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Blake, I got one for you. The GSR dashboard. We talked a bit about it today. Do you want to give this more color?
Yeah, well, what we did with this, so this is a BTA template that we modified to fit who we are, right? So the first top left, we're really talking about, hey, how are you feeling? Rash and zoom into what you guys say. How are you feeling? How can I best support you right now? We're framing out where they're at and what they really need. Then we have a reminder up top on what their quarterly goals are. So each one of their quarters is broken down in there. And then we have their tracking goal. Within that to the right, yep. So that's just our bell curve benchmark based on quarters. On the right, it's the numbers that we care about. So these are the qualifiable things. And we're really concerned about the percentage, right? You have your leading indicators, your lagging indicators. How much effort can you put in? We track their time on doors. We track their pace. We're using an app called Life 360 to see where they're at from a safety standpoint. We utilize Hail Recon from a lead gen standpoint. But we're trying to help them see where they're effective and efficient. Then if you scroll down a little bit more, what they do is they reflect, hey, here are my observations from the week, right? We're teaching them to think what really matters. Then we're having them identify, hey, what's that one big rock? If we focus on this week, this is going to either bring, again, a cultural breakthrough or a financial breakthrough in what I'm doing. And what are the three sub actions to that? Then we have our foundation check, which is, are you putting in your time? If you worked with door-to-door in any capacity, right? New guys, they always forget to put gas in their car. They're always going to get lunch. They don't know where the bathroom is. They think they've put in an 8-hour day, but when you actually break down what they've done, it may have been 5.5. And so their actual output is accurate based on those 5.5 hours. But if they did the 8, they'd be hitting their goals. Then we're looking at their calendar. It has to be pre-planned prior to their Monday morning meeting with everything mapped out from their lead gen time, their office time, their board review time, and then their individual study. And then from there, we ask that SMART goal question, hey, what's going to make you the most money this week? It could be a client follow-up. It could be a lead gen. It could be asking for a referral. But it's them beginning to see, hey, how do I build a business within my business? And then on the bottom, they have an opportunity to write down any key 4 questions that they need resolved. And then if I have any admin updated information, it's listed on the right. And so each one of these spots has a length of time that's associated with it that we systematically work through. And then from there, if there's any margin left over, that's when we can kind of break down, hey, I need help. How do I follow up with this client? What would you say in this situation?
And this is all tied to other tabs, right? So you've got different tabs tracking weekly actuals, and so the goals are piping in versus actuals for you.
Yep. And then we have our master scorecard for each one of our sales guide that's tied into it. So we can see macroly, hey, what are their percentages and numbers based on the week, based on the month, based on the quarter, based on the year? We can track trends and... Right. I'm looking for patterns. I'm not looking for one-offs. I'm looking for patterns. So that if they have a low conversation with the homeowner, meaning someone answered the door to inspection ratio, I'm trying to figure out, are you not asking good qualifying questions? Are you not reading body language? What are you doing in this moment? If that percentage is higher, I'm trying to figure out, hey, what are you doing right in this moment? Let's do more of that. And so as a leader, my goal is to see pattern, not individual tasks. And then what they're supposed to do is figure out the individual tasks. And so it's been beautiful Like it's a quick dashboard, high level information. The challenge is if someone's struggling, they can feel really beat up. And so there's moments where we pause and we look macroly and say, hey, here's holistically where you're doing well. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we kind of break down, hey, let's try this micro tweak this week. How did it go? Whether it's them recording their conversations at the door, whether it's them pre-mapping out what areas they're going to go to. Sometimes this is fun. We'll challenge our lead gen guys saying, hey, I don't care if you get on an actual roof today. I want you to go have 10 amazing conversations and tell me about these people at the end of the day. Why? Because they're in that pressure moment. They're trying to get something for themselves versus serving that person.
They need a win. They need to have something they're in direct control over. And if without it, yeah, I've seen it all the time. So these are usually filled out on a Friday by your team. And then you're meeting with them on a Monday or a Tuesday to hold rigor and accountability and build structure into their calendar and give them some direction for the week. And as a leader, this allows you to get them primed and ready so you can go do your thing for the week. They can go do theirs and everyone's on point facing the same direction.
Yeah. And we do it in every one of our seats. I mean, my ops guy in the beginning of our one-on-one, he'll hold me accountable in a GSR as the captain CEO. And so it's accountability across the board. Same with our quarterlies. I know this is something you and I discussed, but my number two and my wife sit in my quarterly review because I don't want to be able to hide and talk my way out of anything. And so when the two people who know you the best are holding you accountable to time management, to stress, we ask the question, hey, what would those closest to you say about your work-life balance right now? Like, I can't hide, so I'm forced to be better and reveal my weaknesses and then ask for help in those areas.
Awesome. We're going to give you guys a few of these resources. So there'll be a standardized GSR dashboard that you can use for your team that'll break down goals. We're going to give a strategic planning template for everyone as well. And the sales production handoff that you guys saw earlier. Let's talk about, let's see what else would be good. If we got into the checklists, which I really like. Adam, do you want to speak to how you're using checklists for CompanyCam?
Yeah. So when we started using CompanyCam, I don't believe checklists were a thing. If they were, maybe we just missed them, but we discovered them about a year in. And when we did, we're like, oh my gosh, like, now we don't have to like laminate pages and then use a Sharpie and then erase it. And then the Sharpie doesn't erase. Now we have to get a new one and all this kind of stuff. Now we just use a checklist in CompanyCam. And it really transformed how we hold quality standards high. Because now every time the guys finish a job, whether it's a gutter cleaning visit or an install or a drains job, whatever, they have a post-job checklist. And here's the thing. Here's why I love checklists. Checklists give you the answers to the test. It's literally answers to the test. Hey guys, if you do all this, then you get an A. I will be happy. If you don't do any of this, I'll be mad and you fail. It's that simple. The answers are right here. Hey Adam, what do you want us to do? The checklist. Hey Adam, what should we do here? The checklist. And so all they have to do is just fill out the checklist. Did you clean all the gutters? Yes or no? Yes. And so you go through here and obviously, the checklist, you can modify it and customize it all you want. But if a client calls us the next day and says, you guys didn't clean a section of the gutters, I can see. Well, I'm going to go find and if it's true and we go and check, I'm going to say, hey, John, why did you say that you checked it off if you didn't do it? And now we have a law here to hold each other accountable to and say, whoa, you said you did it, but you didn't. And it's awesome. A couple of years ago, our lead technician who was with me from the beginning, and he's one of the older guys. He's like, they don't do it the way they're supposed to, right? He was like, the new guys aren't putting a yard sign in front of the client's house like they're supposed to. They're just not. We did it for 2 years, and now we're hiring people, and now they're not. And it makes me mad, and they're not doing it. Okay, fine. So now the first question on the checklist is, did you place a yard sign in the front yard? Yes or no? And there's a photo required. They put the photo in, they put the sign in, take the photo, they check it off, and we move on. And you know how happy that makes me when I just scroll through all these checklists every day? Because we're high volume. So we have like 10 or 20 or 30 visits a day. And so all these checklists, and there's yard sign to every single one. You know what they do now?
they put a yard sign on the yard now because on the checklist. Checklists hold whatever quality standards you want because they know what the answers to the tests are.
And photos to back it up. So
it's photos to back it up. Yeah.
Totally.
Required. Yeah.
If you guys haven't yet, make sure you get, maybe Aaron, can you put another link in? Make sure you get these resources. If you do want to chat, obviously, with BTA or Company Cam, let us know. We are here for you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.